from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
TK, Trista Crick, we're talking about championship players. We'll get you involved in that conversation. But you are live from...
Portland, Oregon.
Okay. Wasn't sure.
She back in Portland, Dame. She back in Portland.
He's been doing this
Portland
all day.
Portland be kind of killing it, though.
Yo, I mean, I'm saying, I went up there one time when Rasheed was there. Rasheed was my guy. I went up there with Rasheed one time. Yo, I'm going to let you finish. Hold on, man. I'm going to let you finish. But Maze. Hey, bro, why you act like Bonzi not your man?
They didn't want me to do Harlem World. That's what I'm saying.
Well, look, Mace, look. I'm just going to be real. You know that when you came up there, it was one of them things where you knew Harlem World going into Portland. I had this one chick that I was messing with in Portland. She was cool or whatever the case may be. But, you know, that's a whole nother story. I told Trayvon not to just do all that, but he didn't listen to me. But you know, Murder. You know, when you was in Portland, Bonzi told you, like, yo, do Harlem World. I was the one. I told you, like, do what you do. You need to listen. But they didn't really listen. I told Trayvon. He didn't listen, too. And Mo, stop. I'm not trying to hear that Ohio stuff today, bro. I ain't hearing it, bro. You're doing all that Ohio stuff, bro. I ain't here for all that today. I'm just saying.
You just don't know when to say when. He's been doing this all day long. It's like he's working on these impressions in case we meet Cam and Mace. He wants to be able to bring these out.
My mom loves them. My mom loves them. She was like, it's so fun. It's so funny when Kenny does the.
Oh, don't. Oh, God.
Hey, shout out Mama Crick. You know, big ups to Mama Crick. She knows what it. Mama Crick. You know what it is.
Right. I'll be in Vegas tomorrow, though.
Ooh.
Yeah, y'all don't want to miss tomorrow's episode of It Is What It Is.
Thursday's episode.
We'll record, I'm sorry.
Yeah, record Wednesday for Thursday.
Okay, very good.
Hey, so, hope this migraine goes away. I've had a migraine for 24 hours.
Ooh, that's so no good.
Hope, not okay.
That's
let's
no
hope
good.
It's gone by tomorrow.
I don't know if Trista saw this one, but I saw in the comments. Somebody said, that's not stat, baby. That's statistical lady.
That's funny.
I did see that.
They said she gentrified the show. She came in and gentrified the show.
Man.
Did you do your other show yesterday?
I'm off work. I am off BetMGM tonight for 2 weeks.
Okay.
So we did Summer League, and then we now are on vacation with Mama Crick. Then we'll be back. We'll be back to work, I think, on the 7th of August.
Time for the Hall of Fame game.
Just in time for preseason football.
Exactly. Great job, by the way, man. Great job on It Is What It Is, mm-hmm. man. That was dope to see. That was dope to see.
It has been in the works, like I kind of teased on you guys' show back in April. And it's one of those things where when you see the DM that comes in from someone like Cameron, well, actually just Cameron, period. you just can't really, you check the profile, like you think maybe it's a spoof. And then I went and saw the recording two Thursdays ago, and it was really funny because, like, you know, Mace didn't really talk to me at first. He was kind of like, you know, being very professional, just went into the studio, came out. And then once Cam introduced us, like, hey, Trista, she's the content creator I was telling you about. He was like, oh, okay, hey. And then we ended up getting dinner the next Wednesday. He's like, hey, why don't you come to the studio tomorrow? I'm like, okay, sounds good. And I had no idea that I was going to be on the show. He called me the day of and was like, he's like, yo, listen, so Stat can't make the show today. You want a guest host? I was like, yeah, I do. That sounds great. Perfect. And he was like, yeah, so you're the host, though. Like, you're not the analyst. Just know, like, just you're the host. Just keep it on the tracks. So I was like, perfect. I'll say as little or as much as you want. He's like, oh, no, we'll ask you your opinions, though. You've got good opinions, so. And I'm like, so that's kind of not 100% hosting, but whatever. Again, whatever you guys want me to do, I'm totally down to do. So, yeah, he's. And then I saw Mace before the show. He came in a little early. And he was like, listen, I told Killa, don't hold back on me now. I heard you. I heard you're kind of ruthless. So I won't hold back.
Did a good job.
Yeah, you fit right in.
The only thing that I was surprised, I was very surprised from that debut episode from Trista Crick. You ain't never seen Hoop Dreams?
Never seen Hoop Dreams. Oh, that's crazy to me.
Wow. That I agree with Cam on that. That might be the best. It gets dicey because it's a doc and not a movie and stuff like that. But it's as far as just like movie doc basketball, that's number one with a Rocket. Like, it's not even, to me, that's, it's not even close. Hoop Dreams is amazing.
You think Paul George is a championship player?
Ooh, I guess it depends on the context. Because I think Paul George can win a championship.
Mm-hmm.
I think Paul George plays winning basketball. I don't think he's like a, I wouldn't call him like a Zach LaVine type. But I don't think Paul George is the number one or number two option on a championship team. I think that's way too much pressure for Paul George. I think mentally, and I've made a lot of jokes in the past. Some have gone a little too far on Paul George. But, like, the thing about Paul George right now, and maybe things have changed or maybe things will change, but I don't think his mental is set up to be the guy. And this is what he said, like, just the other day. I think it was just yesterday where he said he wants to have the ball in clutch moments to take the pressure off of Joel Embiid and Tyrese Maxey. And it's like, I don't think that's really where you're best. I don't think you, with the ball in your hand with the minute left, is where you thrive or succeed, because we've seen what you've done in those moments before, and when the pressure gets intense, you do not rise to the occasion. You crumple like a piece of paper and that I throw into my garbage can and yell Kobe. Like, that's Paul George. So I think he'd be a fine Tobias Harris option. Like, I think he's he's much better than Tobias Harris as a talent, but I don't think you say, okay, when it's time for us to get a bucket, we're giving the ball to Paul George.
I don't disagree. I don't, especially at this point in his career. I do think the thing that always sticks with me about Paul George is the one time, actually kind of two times, because when he was young Paul George in Indiana, they got to the conference finals, right? And it kind of pushed Miami a little bit, or whatever the case may be. So there's a couple times there. But the one time when the chips were down, he stepped up to the plate. When Kawhi goes down in that series against Utah, it looked like it was all bad. He leads them to a victory against Utah. Pushed Phoenix to six. Like, he played very well, and you could say he was the reason why all that happened. Now, hearing your response to him, you could probably make the argument one of the reasons why that happened is because it was probably all the pressure in the world was off of him at that point. Like, once Kawhi went down, they were like, you guys are finished. You don't have any shot. And he was able to play loose, and he played really well. And maybe that's why he had that type of success, because it didn't mess with his mentals at that time.
And I think that it's a really fine line.
Well, Cam, I don't know if Cam got him or Mace got him. No, TK, your screen is just black.
Let me take this Wi-Fi.
No, there you are. Clearly,
the Wi-Fi is just broken. Am I losing you guys, or are you guys losing me?
We lost you. No, we full on lost you. You fell into the abyss for a moment, but you are back in 4K.
Okay, great. So I think that there's a fine line between caring about how you perform and your legacy and being a competitor, and once it's time to play, trusting what you've put in and playing free. Because I think that this happens in all of our professions, is that people get so caught up in wanting to do well and what people are going to say and what happens if I don't do well, that they play worse than they would have if they just forgot about that. And that's a really, really hard thing to do. And I think for me personally, like, the thing that I have realized I do best and why I do best on radio is because I don't care at all about sports radio. I could care less if I ever went on again. I really enjoy being on. And if they take me off, it impacts my life in no way. Like, I've never cared about this. So that freedom to say what you want to say and do what you want to do is really liberating. And I think that's what some athletes do really well and some do not. Kobe was incredible at that. He trusted all the work that he put in. And when it came down to it, he felt free. And he talked a lot about it post-retirement as well. And I think Paul George just needs to forget about the outcome. He just needs to hoop, because he's one of the most talented players we've ever seen in terms of all the different things that he can do on a basketball court. There's a reason that young players like that are just coming into the league right now call Paul George their GOAT. But I think he just mentally cares just a little more than he should care.
That's fascinating.
Yeah, I agree with that, too. I agree with that. It's not the exact thing, but what they say, paralysis by analysis, like, the more you think about it, it just paralyzes you, essentially. It terrifies you.
Put pressure on yourself. You can make the moment bigger than it needs to be. Especially, you know, that's why I think Jokic is so good, is that Jokic has so many other things that he values more than the game of basketball, that when it comes down to it, the pressure is relative. He still has an amazing family and wife and his horses, and there's things that he values so much more that when that fourth quarter comes in a game seven, that's just, it doesn't hold the same weight as it would to other athletes.
And then, you know, Jokic and Paul George, they can just, you know, if they lose the game, they can get on the podium and say, I get to go back to my life and you go back to
your You know who that might be? That might be De'Aaron. De'Aaron might be the
type of mindset.
Yeah, he might be the my wife, my kids. Like,
that's why De'Aaron's so good.
He's so
in the
free. Yeah. That is fascinating.
If we identify the people who are the best in clutch moments, I think that we will find a common theme with their mentality.
But Kobe wasn't like that.
Kobe was on
clutch?
But he was on the extreme other end where he made his workouts and dreaming up those
Mamba
scenarios
mentality
so difficult that he found, like, the liberation in the fact that nothing is harder than what I put myself through. So
I agree.
This is easy.
And he talked about that post-retirement, like, you have to trust the work that you put in, you know, and you can't make the moments bigger than they are.
Paul George said that exact same thing at a press conference.
But we don't believe him.
And Shaq and Kenny, like, murdered him for it.
That's
said the exact same thing. And they presented that video with no context. And Shaq and Kenny Smith just murdered him for it.
Well, and I think that is worth frying him over when we know how bad he's been in those moments. So it's easy for you to tell us that. We, first of all, I don't believe Paul George thinks that. I don't actually feel in his soul he believes that it's fine. I believe when people were calling him Pandemic P and like making fun of him with throwing the, you know, hitting that shot off the sideboard. And there were rumors that Paul George was hand of the Bible, laying between the wall and the bed in a fetal position in the bubble because he was so stressed. I don't think when he says, I don't worry about the outcome, we believe him. And it's easy to burn him up when his performances in the clutch have been so terrible, relatively speaking.
Who would know that that man is lying in a fetal position between the...
Probably the team personnel. Somebody coming to check on him.
Oh, they...
Things always get out. That's the thing that I
terrible.
Feel like
that's cold.
Gets
that's
missed.
Terrible.
Yeah, remember that? We know that Daniel House was sleeping with that COVID tester.
Well, yeah, we knew that.
You know?
That was crazy.
Hey. Well... Did you ever
people
hear
getting it in the bubble?
Did
man.
You ever hear about the special floor in the weed area?
No, I didn't hear about this one.
Oh, yeah, they had to eliminate any bans. They were like, "Look, if we're going to do this, we can't have any banned substances, so to speak." And yeah, they tore that hotel apart with smoke.
One of the things I thought was funny too was like they separated. You think about like, I don't know about y'all, but in my life, there have been moments where I have like looked over and been like, damn, like there's really like, there's a real hierarchy here. We all are working this job, but there's a hierarchy. And you don't think maybe that's happening in the NBA, but like, if you looked at which players and which teams went to which Disney resorts, like the difference between like the low budget Disney resorts and the like ultra high end Disney resorts. Like I remember doing a video breaking down which teams were where, and it was like, yep, that tracks. Orlando Magic at the $199 a night hotel.
Not,
makes sense.
Not to
they
be too simplistic.
They were at home and still had to go to the $199.
Wasn't it seating?
I don't remember.
I feel like they did, like that was part of like seating because there was
some
no
teams
home court
without
advantage.
Seeds went, like Phoenix went.
Phoenix did go, yeah.
Phoenix was at top.
Phoenix was undefeated.
Orlando was there. Phoenix was there. There were some teams that were like, because they were, the Nets were there. There were
the Kings were
like,
there. Vlade got fired.
Yeah, Vlade.
Yeah.
Vlade didn't stay at any resort after a while.
Vladi, by the way, you got to watch out for a Vladi drop in on Thursday.
Okay. I know what that means.
Yeah, I know what that means.
Don't miss Thursday's show.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't miss our show, but
don't
miss
me,
it.
Don't miss. And I'm like, I'm going to try. I really will try.
I know you won't miss. You ain't
there.
Hey.
Listen, and this is one of those times, guys. I'm not going to tell the whole tea, but this is one of those times where you have to be more Jokic than Paul George. Because you start thinking about it and processing and absorbing this.
Yeah.
Going back to when you were 10.
Yeah.
And now your heart starts to race a little bit. Can't have that. You have to just be like, this is all, I'm just a content creator. We're just going back. Doing our jobs is a one-off. I can't be getting nervous.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You do a great job of it, though. You do a great job.
Thank you.
There's nothing to be nervous about.
This is now to a new level. I got a call right before you guys called me, and it was like, hey, we've got to go to the studio to do this before we go to the actual studios that we do the show in. So I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was how it went. Well, thank God, because there'll be multiple takes.
I disagree. I think it's one take.
Yeah, man.
You think it's one take?
One take, TK.
32 one taker?
One take tryst, as they call it.
One take tryst? It shook one?
Turn me up in my headphones. I just want it to get to the point where, like, when, like, you're either doing this hit from the studio or, well, actually, from what you told me, that's not going to happen. But one day you just, like, FaceTime, like, Mace into the call or Cam into the call. And like,
oh, I think that's definitely, like, a thing. That's definitely a thing.
And you can do your stupid impression to Cam on himself.
I'm like, yo, killer, what's good, baby? That's what I'm going to tell.
They absolutely love y'all.
I told TK about the one time I interviewed Mace and how it stuck with me, like, for 20 years.
What happened, though?
We were at the world premiere of Get Rich or Die Trying in Las Vegas, the movie. And 50 was holding a junket for radio people to come and you got an interview with 50. Mm-hmm. And you saw the movie and whatever else you did, you did. But you got an interview with 50 and you would see the movie. Mm. And he had, like, he did it like... It was like five-star treatment. Like you had food, you drinks, like everything was just whatever you wanted. He had a room where he had just dropped the shoes, and they were in like this ice sculpture. It's where you went to pick everything up. It's where the food was. Well, Mace was there. Wow. Mace had just signed with G-Unit. Mm. And I was like, I had my little mini disc recorder and my microphone. I was like, I'm going to interview Mace. I was like, hey, you got a few minutes? And he was like, yeah, for sure. And so we do, like, I don't know, TK, like a 4-minute interview, 5-minute interview, whatever it was, and we hang up. I thank him and he goes, I like your style, that's a good look, I like your style. And that was it. And I sent that interview to TK over the weekend. I was like, that's why Mace always, like, stuck with me, because he showed young pre-second puberty D-Lo like a lot of love in Las Vegas.
D'Lo had a very similar style, just, you could tell he was just working through some things. It was still a very good interview, though. The questions were great, especially considering you know that that was like an impromptu interview. You hadn't prepped for it. You just saw him. You pulled him aside. To me, those are the most impressive interviews because, you know, we can prep. I mean, prepping is obviously a key piece of what we do. But if you can do it off rip and still get something really good, that's, to me, the gold standard.
It ties back into that overthinking again. Like, if we know we have an interview on Friday at 5 o'clock on KSFM and we've got, you can overthink that. Mm-hmm. Like when Pilo came in on Thursday, we didn't know when he was going to get here. But we knew we had to do it and we had to be quick. And so we weren't really thinking. It was just like, hey, we're live.
We're live, pal.
Let's go. And it created a really engaging conversation. But if you think too much about that stuff, you'll wind up in the fetal position between the wall and the bed.
Yeah, like PG-13 or PG-8.
And someone from ESPN will rat it out to the media later. Probably, well, I'm not going to say who, but someone will.
That's one of my greatest flaws, I think, is that I put the interview on a pedestal. You know, I really feel like that interview could be like it has to be so perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. Instead of being like, well, maybe I'll talk to them again. Like, it can be just a regular-ass conversation. I want gold to come out of it, you know, every time. I want, like, the most insightful stories and blah, blah, blah. And so I overthink the questions that I'm going to ask and try to rephrase them. And that's my biggest, probably the biggest part of my mistakes when I'm in this business is that. Mm. BetMGM has helped a lot for that because we don't have enough time to prep for these interviews. Like Jim Boeheim came on, I didn't know until the day of and until like a couple hours before. And so that was a lot easier for me. But yeah, I think that was what made that Mace interview so good, Damien. It was so natural and you didn't sound nervous at all. You got to play that on KSFM.
Young goat. Damien Barley. 102.5 KSFM. You already.
That was when he had That's when he had the waves popping. He had a little lineup.
The waves for the bay.
I sent her the picture too.
The waves for the bay.
She hit me with a. Oh, you look different. I was like, oh, and I kept waiting for like, no, you were cute back then. Nothing. Just no, you look different.
All right, look.
It's a different style. It's chubby. It's like Damien's. I like this grown man, Damien. No. I like the grown man. I like the way they, you know, the glasses, the hair, you know, you got your little abs popping on Instagram. You're a little heavier then.
I've heard a number of different times, my wife being included, and I didn't know how to take it at first, but it's all good. It's okay. And like, you are a much more handsome man than you were young man. Like she tells me all the time, you're a handsome man.
But that's a man thing. That's the best part of being a man.
I like it.
Is you get better. You like women outside of myself because I think I'm aging like wine.
I see you
in some ways. Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think I look better at 38 than I did 28. But that's money. Mm. Like that's money and like Damien said, skincare and water and like a healthier lifestyle. Like I think if I was doing what I'm doing at 27, I'd probably look better. But men in general, like, get better with age.
It can. Some of them be falling off, though. You know, the pretty Rickies from high school, you know, pretty Ricky, what they call them.
Yeah.
And then you see him at 35, and it's like, well, he didn't fell off. He didn't gain a bunch of weight. And it's not. So,
sure.
You know what? That's natural. That's natural athleticism versus working on your game to get better. Like people like me had to work on my game to get better. Like that's what it was. And then I earned a few contracts along the way. Was able to. That's what it is. You could tie this back to sports very easily.
I had to grind.
Those guys relied on their athleticism, and once it burned out,
that's it.
They were cooked.
They were eating McDonald's. You know. Messing around with random thoughts,
Trayvon Diggs women, you know.
All of a sudden, you look up and you're like, "Wow, where did it all go wrong?"
The hairline ain't there no more. You know what I mean? It's just kind of gone away. You know, one thing I did realize when we first started talking to you, did you have the Invisalign in?
I think maybe. I think I still had to have it in for the first like year while I was trying to get it set.
Because I when I was trying to get a feel for the new person that was coming on, you know, now that Q was leaving, I was listening.
Q was with us for like a day and a half.
That's like, that's an evergreen Q comment right there.
But I was listening, I think, to Bet MGM Tonight, and I thought you had a lisp. I was like, oh, lady, she's got a lisp or whatever the case
the lady.
And then get on and like, obviously you don't hear nothing like that anymore. And I think back, I was like, oh, I think that was just the braces, obviously, because I had to deal with the same stuff. I was like, oh, I guess that was just the braces. It was just something random that I picked up.
A speech impediment would be tough, you know, just to be in our business with a lisp or some sort of weird hitch. I already feel like when I get kind of excited, my voice ticks up a little bit.
Oh, it definitely does. Yeah, it definitely does.
And that to me is like a big source of it, not insecurity, but definitely like I wish it didn't do that. And on top of that, something for folks to know, when we get into a crowded space, me, anyone, and I'm in a crowded space, my voice won't cut through the noise. So I have to over project, and then it'll just, then I call my voice like a Maserati, like it's in the shop all the time. Like if I go to a crowded event 2-3 days in a row, I can't talk for the next day. It starts to, you know, you turn the key and it's, you know, that's what it does. That's what it does. So Kenny, when you heard me on BetMGM tonight, because I know you guys were, you told me you're a little suspicious of having me on because of the former employer that I was at. Did you like what? At what point did you guys say, "Hey, we're okay having her on"? Was
I didn't
it like the first hit, or what was it?
I didn't know you from that. I just had known you from BetMGM. So yeah. Any baggage that potentially was there, I didn't have because I didn't know what happened previously. And
I only knew you were there because Danny told me. Danny's like, hey, we're switching something up. We're going to put this girl with you. I think she's going to be really, really good with you guys. And he was like, yeah, it's Trista Crick. I pulled up Trista Crick. I see what I see. And it's like, wait, what? And he was like, no, she left. Like, that's why I think you'll really like her. Like, that's not it. She's not that.
Yeah.
Okay. Like, all right, cool.
You know what's crazy is I thought stupidly, dumb. I thought the vibe that I had with Mason Cam was going to be what I was going to get at Barstool. That's why I went there. You know, I thought their dedication to comedy, I thought like the, you know, kind of F around when you're talking about sports, not take yourself too seriously. Mm. And like a big viral audience that really is dedicated. That was what I was hoping for. I just didn't realize how white and frat boy they were. Like, I didn't realize how they would not resonate with my point of view or my sense of humor. And that was very evident starting month one.
And I think our thing with you was we knew the first hit because the 9-1 video was out and you just like laughed at it and had fun with it. And it was like, okay, this is what, because we were still kind of figuring like our own stuff out at the time. So, yeah, no, we knew like right. We knew after the first hit, like obviously we didn't know it would be this, but we knew, oh, this will work. Yeah, this will absolutely work. Obviously, we could have never dreamed it would become.
Me neither. So great. I saw somebody at Summer League at the bar. They were like at the bar in Thomas and Mac with like a Sacramento Kings polo on. I think they work for the team. I don't know what capacity they work for the team. He looks at me and he goes, "You look familiar." And I go, "Well, I can tell you exactly why I look familiar." And he goes, "Why is that?" And I go, "Well, I go on Sacramento radio every Tuesday." And he goes, "Oh, D'Lo and Casey, yeah." And I was like, wow, I didn't know the team was like so into it. It's like, awesome. Can I buy your Diet Coke for you? I'm like,
no. Well, look, that was good. The guy decked out in Kings gear at game one of the playoffs had no idea.
No clue.
No idea about D'Lo and Casey.
Knew exactly who Trista Crick was. No clue who D'Lo and Casey were at the playoffs. In Sacramento.
Trista was trying to tell
Trista,
him.
Trista, literally.
He's on, you're on what show?
Trying to introduce us to a Kings fan at our home arena. Yeah, no, that'll bring you down a couple of notches.
Jackass.
That'll drop your ego down quick.
It's tough. Did you guys, let me ask you guys, did you guys listen to sports radio growing up?
Yeah.
I didn't.
I used to go to sleep listening to Jim Rome when I was 10, 11 years old.
I listened to radio. I didn't listen to sports talk radio.
Same. Like, I only, and maybe it's just like what we were interested in, but like, I only listened to music when I was, you know, not, when I was listening to anything. If I was not watching TV and watching music videos,
right.
I barely watched like shows. It was like just BET and MTV on, and we would just sit there and watch the videos, and then we would listen to music and record the, you know, record from radio to tape so that we can make our
record,
own
record, play, pause.
Yep. So that was never, sports radio was just so foreign to me. And I think that it's like a, I think that's a common thing with people who grew up around and loved music, is that sports radio is just never at the top of the priority. Like, I, it would have been insane to me to want to listen to someone else's opinions about the thing that I already had a defined opinion about.
Now, and I was the opposite. I really, really, really liked music. I loved sports. I love sports. I love sport outside of family. I love sports more than anything. I love sports.
I think I was 6 or 7 years into my career before I ever thought, hey, sports would be interesting. And then I left all of it, and it wasn't until I did it that I was like, oh, I like this.
CM Punk came back home.
That's just you. Well, no, I came back home last year.
Yeah.
I came back home last year when we did the 102.5 show.
Shout out Danny Fry, low-key the GM Jerry West of radio. Just sees things.
Yeah. And I think, too, like, I loved watching the games, and I loved watching, like, you know, the commentators of the game, and I loved Inside Stuff. Loved Inside Stuff with Ahmad Rashad. So
my main man.
Meeting Ahmad Rashad was a big treat for me. So that was, like, a big thing. So sports radio is just never a part of this. Sorry, my mom is in the background trying to get involved, so that's why my
Mama Crick, what's going on? Which impression does she want?
I'm trying to tell her she's not supposed to talk. We got to go to break. Well, she's not supposed to talk.
Keep listening, Mama Crook. After the commercial, I'll have an impression for you.
We blew so far past that at this point, it doesn't matter. But TK's playing hurt, so I don't want to keep you. I know you don't probably got to put ice pack on.
No, I mean, you guys are actually, as I'm talking to you, I don't know if you guys know this, and the Chatty House, it's true for you guys as well. This is the best I've felt in 24 hours. Well, talking to you guys actually makes my headache go away, and I was hoping that it would.
That's weird. Usually Kenny gives me a headache, so I'm glad it has the
Look, there's no need for you to go there.
I
mean, one of the things that we have to do
right
in D-Law cases, we've got to understand that, you know, we're really here for each other. That's really what it comes down to.
I hate that I find that Doc Rivers impression so funny.
Now, Kenny, when did you start doing impressions?
Oh,
I don't know. I'm an only child. You spend a lot of time talking to yourself, formulating thoughts for yourself. Those things happen. I don't know. I was probably 14, 15. I don't know.
My brother's coming to the studio on Friday.
Oh, word?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What's your brother look like?
Y'all will get it. I'll save that. Y'all will get a good laugh out of this.
Yeah?
Yeah, y'all will get it.
Is he like a brother that has like the same genetics, or like is he like Brandon Ingram's brother? Where, like,
I don't even know that reference. I got to look up Brandon Ingram's brother.
I'll tell you guys the story real fast. So I interviewed Brandon Ingram. This is how I know Brandon Ingram's not a fit for the Sacramento Kings. Like, at all. You're happy you don't have him. He'd be an incredible
player Ingram
on the court. But, like, Brandon Ingram. So I interview him at 8 a.m. on a Friday in L.A. after his rookie year. There's like this knee brace company that he's aligned with, and they have given us a one-on-one with him as a part of the commercial that he was shooting. So I talk with him. He's definitely high at 8 a.m., which is like, I'm fine with that, I guess. But like, his comments are so slow. Like, his responses are terrible. He's blitzed out of his mind. But he's got his brother with him. His brother's probably like 5'8", maybe 5'10", and like 300 pounds. Like, oh, you know, like, man. Completely opposite. And he's like, and he's rebounding for Brandon Ingram. And I'm like, who's this, your friend? He's like, no, that's my little brother. I'm like, no way, that's your brother. He's like, yeah, that's my brother. I'm like, how? He's not the same skin tone. He's not the same height. He's not the same weight. He's not the same demeanor. Nothing. So I asked Brandon, can you do some dunks for us for this B-roll, like layups, dunks? He's like, nah, I'm a gunner.
Oh, snap.
And what did you say? Nah, I'm a gunner, only gunning. And I said, so you're only going to shoot from three? Yup, no dunks, no layups, that's all I got. And I'm like, okay, we're. Well, the interview didn't even run. It was so
bad.
But
no.
All I could think about was Brandon Ingram's brother being so drastically different from him.
That's hilarious. I don't even think I knew Brandon Ingram had a brother.
I didn't. I don't know why I would, but I didn't know.
Well, can you see it online? Do they have photos of it?
Yeah, it's kind of hard to tell. I think I found one where the one in the orange, the burnt orange jacket. Is that the one you're looking at? I think that's his
brother. Yeah, I got that one. Yep. Yeah, and that would perfectly describe what Trista was just talking about.
Speaking of receipts, how funny was that Devin Carter came out about the black Air Force Ones?
It was even funnier when we looked up the price of Supreme Air Force Ones and they were like $150. Like, we're not sure what Devin Carter is trying to accomplish with that line of I only wear Supreme black Air Force Ones, but I mean, salute. It's odd. I think Tristan.
That's the asshole. Correct? And he goes, yes. And I said, so the upper is black. The outsole is black. So they look like steel security guard shoes, correct?
Yeah.
And he was like, but they're Supreme. And I'm like, I don't think you're getting it at
so,
all.
So he wasn't having none of it. Like, he wasn't like, you crazy though.
I don't know anything about Devin Carter's background, but he was not effing with my energy at all. Like, whatever I had going on, he did not find to be entertaining or funny or enjoyable. He was like, get out of here with this. It could have been like, I've heard this so many times, I do not want to hear it again.
And for whatever reason, he's really passionate about this black Air Force thing.
Well, his dad was an NBA player, so maybe he doesn't even understand black Air Force energy.
His dad was a tough dude.
He was.
Yes. His dad was
that
a tough dude.
That doesn't mean he's tough.
Well, I would think. Well, he looks tough when he plays. Like,
he does.
The film looks tough. And then I.
For our sake, I hope he is.
I just don't know. I don't know why he was so offended by that. That's supposed to be. Like I was saying earlier, Trista, what's the alternative? You're a crispy white Air Force guy? Is that soft? Is that, you know, a little finesse? Is that how you want to be looked at?
Like, I told him this is a compliment. You know? Like, this is. And maybe he's like, well, I don't want to be known as the guy that does the dirty work because those guys aren't stars and I want to be a star. It's like, but bro, you went to Providence, okay? Like, you're in the Big East. You're wearing all black Air Forces.
Can you refresh our memory on another part of that story? Because I might have told it in a way that didn't actually happen. Did he tell someone to go get him a drink in the middle of your conversation?
Yeah, he did. Okay. Hey, go get me a drink.
Yo, this guy low. I don't tolerate the disrespect, but it's kind of funny. This guy's getting a little funny right here. Telling somebody to go get him a drink.
In the middle of, like, also slapping somebody down. And I told him the craziest thing, though, is he must not care about sports radio either. Because when I said, listen, I'm like a third member of the only legit Sacramento sports radio show and channel in Sacramento. And I And he had, it was like, okay. And it's like, no, I don't think you really understand that, like, you're new to this space.
Yeah, new kid.
And, like, I'm not saying my opinion matters a lot, but it doesn't not matter at all, you know? So, like, treating me like,
yeah, no, Devin Carter will be eviscerated until further notice. Like, he got smoked with D'Lo and KC until he doesn't.
Like, I know it's all cute. I got my little chains on or whatever, but, like, I'm a petty bitch, okay? And, like, you were a part of getting rid of a person I loved on this Kings team, Davion Mitchell. Like, so we already are off to a bad start with this. And he was a gentle soul and nice every time I saw him. And you're kind of the opposite right now.
Get ready to get lost.
Did you see when Crandall got a hold of one of Trista's tweets?
No,
no, did not. I didn't see this.
Which one did he get a hold of?
So let's set the stage for Trista.
Oh, man.
Jim Crandall was a sports anchor here, but he was like for like 40 years, right?
Sacramento legend.
Yeah.
Sacramento legend.
He's I'm sure well into his 60s and beyond, maybe.
60s to play it safe.
60s. And he's on Twitter, but he's notorious on Twitter for like it wouldn't the most Jim Crandall thing would be to tweet right now that Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential race. Like, he's a few days late. And he retweeted something. I think it was your breakdown of DeMar. And, like, you were conveying excitement about DeMar DeRozan. And Crandall quote tweets it. Something like, I don't know who this lady is, but this is a really entertaining, this is a cute little rant or something like that. And of course, you know, the chatty house get like, yeah, that's Trista Crick. She's on every week for like the last 4 years. And I don't think he knows how the replies work. So he just kind of left them there. But Crandall got a hold of your DeMar DeRozan video and the chatty house had some fun with it.
He was like, oh, I don't know where this young lady came from, but these are salient points.
That sounds about that's right.
That's about right. Yeah.
Sacramento legend. Right. Sacramento legend.
Legend for sure.
Yes.
He's a legend for sure. Yeah. Not the best at social media, but he's been around for a while.
But listen, not everybody can be. Even Magic Johnson.
Wow.
I think he has enough money to hire someone to do this. It's now become like a almost like a thing, you know, like a joke.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thanks, Magic.
We don't want Magic to tweet any other way, but every time I see it, I'm like, yep, that's from Magic Johnson's account.
If Magic ever tweeted like an actual point, like I'd be like, what is this?
Like, settle down.
Who hacked Magic? Like, who hacked Magic's Twitter account is essentially like a box score. It's just the first sentence of the
tough
AP
loss
lead address.
From my Commanders today.
Magic impression.
They lost 35-10 and had 5 turnovers. If we want to win, we've got to take care of the football.
That's the end.
That's it. That's the end of the tweet.
Yep. That's why you're not getting on TNT, Magic. Like, that's you serve absolutely zero purpose.
Magic did have multiple analyst jobs, which is still funny to this day. Whose game is it? It's Michael Jordan's game.
No. I'm talking about replacing Chuck with him, and I'm like, no, we can't. We cannot do that.
No,
that would be like going from like cookies and cream to like vanilla. You know, we can't have that.
Man, it's just not in the cards. It's just not in the cards.
We are locked in to it is what it is. We cannot wait for Thursday.
Killer.
Thursday's gonna be a trip, guys.
Y'all gotta.
It's gonna be a trip.
Tap in Thursday. Yeah, it is what it is. It drops before our show drops. Not only will you be able to see what we're talking about, you'll be able to see it in full. And we're excited to see what may happen next.
It'll be Cam, Mace, and Statistics Lady.
Statistics Lady. Good thing my boss's boss is on vacation this whole week.
Imagine that. We love you, TK. Hope you feel better.
Love you guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.